reporting from Burnaby, BC. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. In recent years, it has become ever more apparent that older Canadians are at greater risk of the impacts of climate change. From extreme heat events to poor air quality due to wildfires, that vulnerability has been made abundantly clear. However, the role that older adults play in climate action policies hasn't been as widely discussed, and on this year's Earth Day, April 22nd, Simon Fraser University hosted the 33rd John K. Friesen Conference, for which the theme of this year was Climate Change in an Aging World. Through panel discussions and presentations with academics across BC and beyond, the goal of the conference was to highlight the role of older Canadians in climate action. Before the April 22nd start of the conference, CJSF spoke with two academics involved, Gloria Gutman, a gerontology professor at SFU and co-chair and manager for the conference, as well as Gary Hack, a human ecologist, author, and research associate at the University of York in England. He attended the conference as a keynote speaker, and we had the opportunity to speak with them both about what this conference would entail.
In terms of this issue of aging and climate change, as Gloria said, I've been looking at it since about 2007, 2008, looking at this intersection of aging and climate change, but taking a much more kind of holistic approach, because of, and we've developed a framework, what we call the three C's. So looking at older people as contributors to the problem. So we know in terms of carbon footprint and consumption, and let's say the baby boomer generation, one study I looked at how we can look at age-related carbon footprint and how consumption and emissions change over time. For example, maybe in early retirement, if they have the money available, their carbon footprint is mainly on travel, eating out. But as you get older and less mobile, then it becomes more on home heating and health services. So looking at the three C's, the first one is contributor to the problem, casualty and change maker. The second C is about casualty, because we know a high proportion of older people are impacted by the effects of climate change, such as heat or having to evacuate from flooding, which has issues. And then the third one is looking at change makers, because we know that we have of an older population, we have enormous wealth and knowledge and experience that they can utilize. So it's really coming to this intersection as a much more holistic and balanced approach, because it's easy to say from one example, oh, well, you know, older people, they consumed and they, you know, they cause a problem, or older people are only vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. It's trying to look at it holistically and saying, yes, we recognize contribution, casualty and change maker. And at this conference, because it's on Earth Day, I'll be exploring how older people, this intersection, and explaining this kind of framework approach.
Well, amongst other things, what we discovered is that there are groups all across the country of seniors that are activists, that are trying to deal with these issues of climate change and how do we mitigate the problem.
Later on in our conversation, we spoke about why they believe the conversation around climate action has taken longer to include the voices of aging populations.
I think the first thing is that we're now seeing the impacts of climate change more and more, you know. So we're seeing the wildfires, we're seeing the heat, we're seeing the flooding and the storms, and we're seeing that older people are being impacted. So that the evidence is more. We're experiencing much more extreme weather events, and we're seeing how it impacts older people. So I think that's one why it's more now compared to the past. It's more evidence of that change. I also think that at the time when we were doing it, there wasn't that much interest. Because of from a kind of more the aging community, we're aware about the impacts of climate change. So I think there's an increased awareness of climate policy, but climate impacts. I would say that's my perspective. But Gloria, from a gerontology point of view.
Yeah. Well, also You know, where I first got involved in this was back around Hurricane Katrina, and realizing that the people who died were not the babies and the nursing mothers, it was the old people. And then we started to see in disaster after disaster that that was the pattern. So the issue of older people as casualty was sort of where it drew a number of us in. But subsequent to that is that we were seeing this activism that was not there before. So now there's a group called Gray is Green that's in the US that is very active. And you know, when you think about it, and as Gary said, taking a lifespan perspective, that some of those people who are old now were the ones who were the protesters in their youth, right? So they were protesting for the women's movement, for the gay movement, for disability rights. And so they know how to do this.
Since this conference mainly focused on the perspectives of older Canadians, another thing we talked about is, why should younger audiences care?
Another aspect I would like to bring in, because I guess your audience are quite young people, is this kind of intergenerational aspect, because it's very important, because it's easy to see older people, oh, well, you know, a bit like what we see when it comes to climate justice on a global scale. You know, you could talk about poorer countries in Africa, you know, they didn't contribute to the climate problem from the emissions, but they're having the impact. And that's the kind of argument that's presented when it comes to younger and older generations. But here, what I believe it's important to have that dialogue between the young and the old, that, you know, often climate action is seen as a young person's kind of issue rather than an older person's issue. So it's that, the kind of ageism, if you like, when it comes to the climate movement. And it's really to raise awareness that older people do have the experience and the knowledge, and they want to do these things, you know, for legacy and for their family. But also, the work I've done is looking internationally. We've done kind of webinars where we looked at how climate change is impacting people in Africa, in Asia, and Latin America. And older people tend to have a wealth of knowledge of their local environment because they've seen environmental change.
Lastly, Gloria Guttman left us with what she hopes some of the big takeaways were for the conference.
Well, really the perspective of the three C's, of older people as contributors, as casualties, and as change makers. So that's, I think, probably the most important thing. But just to give it a little bit of local context, just this past week, the city of Vancouver has signed up to be part of the age-friendly communities movement. And again, as background, this was something that this movement was started in 2005 in Brazil. And I was at the table at the time when the fellow from WHO said, I think we should have something on age-friendly cities. And it was an idea whose time was right. And so we've had this whole movement on age-friendly cities. It's just taken City of Vancouver a while to come on board, and hopefully we'll move forward with it in terms of taking into consideration the different aspects, like the issue of pollution or of transportation or of various ways in which we can contribute, or we can mitigate, or we can try to prevent.
Once again, that was our conversation with Gloria Guttman and Gary Hack about the 33rd John K. Friesen Conference, which took place from April 22nd to April 23rd at the SFU Harbor Center campus. We spoke about the conference's theme, climate change in an aging world, and the three C's that can be attributed to aging populations as contributors, casualties, and change makers in climate action. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.